This is Danny and Gallant on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app and 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant.
Play the play on the show.
Well, 3.5 months after things seemed to be on the rocks between Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks, he made not his first public comments, but answered questions for the first time. His first press conference. He cleaned up the mess, as Paul Gallant called for him to do. Paul, I ask you, how'd he do?
Well, when you wait 3.5 months to clean up
a mess.
No.
Are you really cleaning up a mess? How did he do?
He did exactly what we all expected him to do, right? I will say, I got to give him credit. He was dancing around some of those questions the same way he used to be able to dodge some of those pass rushers that maybe he wasn't able to do in the same way last year, specifically against the New York Giants. But ultimately, what did we get out of it? Do we feel like we have any more clarity on Russell Wilson's future after this press conference?
Not necessarily, but do you feel better about him? And maybe that's the question for people. And you can text in 710-710, the Mac and Jacks text line. We'll take some calls later on. But the question here, Danny and Gallant, Friday, June 11th. Do you feel better about Russell Wilson? Did he help his image? Because there was some strain between he and the team, and some people were devotedly supportive of Russell Wilson. I think most Seahawk fans felt like, hey, I just want this to be over. Do you feel better about him after all of the different statements that he made? And he made it clear, if there was one thing that he wanted to get across, it was that I did not ask for a trade. I did not ask for a trade. I absolutely did not ask for a trade.
Right. The reality is, I did not ask for a trade. Things got blown out of proportion. Those two things, he said that very often throughout the course of this press conference. So that's what he wanted. I guess in the short term, I do feel better slightly about the idea of Russell Wilson finishing out his contract with the Seahawks. But should I? I'm not even 100% sure I should.
Well, why do you feel that way?
There was a moment where he went back and forth, basically in the same long sentence, where he began things essentially by saying, you know, things can change. But then he finished it essentially wrapping it up by saying that I want to play here for the rest of my career.
Here it is. It's cut number 5. Russell was talking about sort of the uncertainty that lies ahead for any professional athlete, but his desire, his heart is here in Seattle. Here's Russ kind of trying to sum all that up.
Well, I think any time in sports, obviously things can change. I think that's just the reality. Everybody knows that, you know. But I think that for me, my heart of a hearts, and you know, I love the city. I love this place. You know, I love everything about it, from the moment I touched down to Seattle Children's to, you know, our Why Not You Academy to everything else that we have going on. This place has meant a lot. And ultimately, I love the fans. I love my teammates. I love this coaching staff. I love this building, you know. So every time I come up here, I get excited, you know, just to get ready to go again.
If you're as image conscious as Russell Wilson is, and you say something like that, are you not boxing yourself into Seattle for the remainder of your contract if you say that all publicly?
It might be more than just your contract. I don't know if Alex Rodriguez was ever that direct in saying he wanted to stay in Seattle.
That's one I thought of last night, too.
I'm not sure. And maybe he was. And he referenced things like wanting to be like Cal Ripken and playing with one team his whole career. And maybe a fair amount of it was his off-the-record comments with reporters and sort of leading. But Alex, people will always say he said, I don't care about the money. He never really directly said that. At least I haven't been able to find a direct quote in which he said it. But he did talk about, in general terms, how much he loved Seattle and how much he wanted to be with the team. It's very general like that. That question of did he box it in, maybe in the minds of fans. I hear that, and I hear sort of Charlie Brown teacher talk. Like, I hear wah, 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 wah. Everything right
conference.
Now is what I want to be. Like, I honestly, like, that statement didn't mean as much to me. But you're right. Like, he is talking about that. That's hard to walk back and say, well, things change.
Your observation, Danny, was that you felt he was more transparent. What
I thought he was more transparent about, I could see that it bothered him that people thought he wanted to be traded. I thought that that was very clear how much he didn't like that. And the extent to which he focused on that, it kind of asks us to disbelieve what we knew happened. But he is, if there was one thing he wanted to make clear, it was that he did not ask out. He did not ask out. And in fact, he talked about how those four teams that he would have potentially okayed a trade to, how that came to be. Here's his response to that of, if you didn't want to be traded, why were those four teams mentioned?
Well, I think there's a lot of confusion because the reality is that I think I was in the Bahamas or somewhere, and everybody was saying that I requested a trade, and that wasn't true. So we made it clear that I did not request a trade. And then there was teams being flown around that I was going to go to those teams, this and that. And so, you know, I think that, you know, when you look back at it, you know, it's part of, I don't know, it's part of it, unfortunately. You know, and I think that, you know, more than anything else, you know, that I got my wish, you know, in the sense that I've always wanted to play here. That's where I am. That's where I am right now. And that's what I've always hoped for ever since 2012 when I put all the names in a hat and pulled out the Seahawks out of a hat, you know. And then sure enough, about, I don't know, 30 days later, the Seattle Seahawks picked me. So, you know, that's my mission. That's my goal. And that's why I'm here today and ready to roll.
Did you hear the glitch? Like, did you hear the glitch in his programming?
No.
Where he says in the middle, that was part of it, I guess, unfortunately. He gets to the end and he can't get from, I didn't ask for a trade, to explaining how those four teams became there, to how he felt about that before he got back to the other side of, this is where I want to be in Seattle. Like, if you listen to it, there's the glitch in the programming. The two messages that he wanted were, I didn't ask for the trade, and I want to be here. If we play that again and kind of just the when you get to the middle part, you hear the transition. He doesn't have a good explanation for how he feels about that becoming public, whether he regrets it or anything. But it's clear that that's where the discomfort is, at least for me. Here's Russ again when he was asked about, if he didn't ask for a trade, how did those four teams become public?
Sometimes things are family matters. Not everybody. I think there's a lot of confusion because the reality is that I think I was in the Bahamas or somewhere, and everybody was saying that I requested a trade, and that wasn't true. So we made it clear that I did not request a trade. And then there was teams being flown around that I was going to go to those teams, this and that. And so, you know, I think that, you know, when you look back at it, you know, it's part of, I don't know, it's part of it, unfortunately. You know, and I think that, you know, more than anything else, you know, that I got my wish, you know, in the sense that.
He's back on the landing.
I heard it.
Once he gets to that point, he's back on the landing that he's going to. So that's what I came across. I think it's pretty clear that it bothered him that people thought he wanted out. And he's still not totally comfortable with that idea. And he wants to be here. I don't know if it answered my question of how much longer I expect him to be here or to want to be here, though. He's got 3 years left on his contract.
Yep.
He's got a no trade clause. He can't go anywhere unless he signs off on it. Getting to the end of the press conference, I came away with it and I was like, I think I understand how uncomfortable Russ was with the speculation that he wanted out. I don't know if I have a better read on sort of how likely he is to feel that way or to sort of express that sort of frustration again if they backslide. If anything, I feel like there's a lot riding on this season for the Seahawks and for Russell Wilson.
No doubt. And I think regardless of the press conference, that was going to be the reality regardless. That said, when you hear him saying that it's unfortunate things were blown out of proportion, he had control here and he never took control of it. And that, no matter what he said now, a month ago, 2 months ago, in the immediacy after it happened, that's really the only spot, if it was in the immediacy after it happened, where if he really did not want this sentiment out there, he could have stopped it right away.
Yes, absolutely. He started it, right? It was his appearances that started it. You're right. What does that tell us, though, about how it is feeling forward? Does he regret that it happened? Because that would say something. That would say something if he felt like, okay, I expressed my frustration. I wish I had expressed myself differently. That says something about his long term. I don't know if I have a read on that part. I don't know if I have a read on how much he regrets or feels that he shouldn't have, or he maybe shouldn't, that he let his frustration get the best of him.
I think there are some regrets, but I think the regrets are more about the way it was received than about the way that he went about it. Because I think ultimately he did want to float this in some way, shape, or form, that he's concerned, that he's tired of. And look, those were warranted. He got hit a lot, and he was mad at the end of a season where they were once again out of the playoffs early after losing to, at that point, a backup quarterback.
It's Danny and Gallant. It's time for us to get to Front Page News.
This is the Front Page. Today's top two stories and why they matter. Every morning at 7:10. Get what you need to know to start your day right now.
Jake Bowers, not Jack. Jake Bowers had a couple hits in his Mariners debut. Mitch Haniger clobbered a home run. Clobbered two? Knocked two out of the yard?
Yeah, but...
And you know, if we're mentioning those things and not the score, it's because the Mariners didn't win and they got wailed on fairly consistently. And Justice Sheffield, not so consistent a start. The skipper, Scott Service, if you say Kikuchi has taken a step forward this year, and he has, Justice Sheffield slid a little bit back. He slid a little bit back. You haven't seen the consistency. Here's the skipper on his left-handed pitcher after the game.
They're an aggressive club, and they've got some power in their lineup. But I think Sheff just really didn't have much on the fastball and certainly didn't have much command of it today. So, you know, the changeup, you know, you got to locate when you don't have your fastball, certainly your fastball command with your other pitches, and he just didn't have it today. So, you know, we've seen Sheff really good here. You know, last year I thought he hit a heck of a run. All 10 starts were very good, very competitive. This year it's been a little bit up and down. I know he was frustrated. He was frustrated today. He expects more of himself, and he just didn't have it today.
Whatever mojo he had last year, it feels like Justin Dunn now has it. After finishing 1-5 against the Detroit Tigers this season, Danny, and being outscored 34-18, at least for today, the Mariners are back in. Timeout!
The Front Page.
But we might be able to watch them streaming-wise fairly soon. As soon as next week, Root Sports is going to begin talking with streaming services like Hulu and YouTube with the hopes that they can stream on those platforms by the fall, just in time for the NBA and NHL seasons. But Danny, this is, I think, really intriguing. I know you're a huge college football fan. You love the Rose Bowl. College football's playoff is expected to expand to 12 teams, which on one hand is good because that means that the Pac-12 has a better way to get into the dance. But I know that it perhaps ruins your favorite game of the college football season.
So how it's going to work is you have 12 teams. The four top conference champions get a bye. So eight teams are going to play, and they will play at the site of the higher seeded team. After that, so then you move in, you've got eight teams left after that. The quarterfinals, that starts at bowl games. Sites of bowl games. The semifinals, also at the sites of bowl games. Then the championship game. So your Rose Bowl isn't going to be for the Pac-12 champ if it doesn't get invited to the BCS, or the playoff, I'm sorry. The horse is already out of the barn. Like, that's already gone. I'm not that into this, though. I'm not. Like, I...
It hurts the regular season, and if that's the thing that sets college football apart, that's probably not ideal. Isn't this just
solve the problem? Does this solve the problem? What you're going to do is you're going to include the unbeaten team from the Weenie Conference that doesn't get in now. If Central Florida or whoever goes unbeaten, that team's going to get in and get a chance to be punked by Alabama or whoever. I'm just not that excited about it.
It gives the appearance that every school has a chance to win a national title, but it's not actually true, right? Because the top four schools are going to get a bye, and yeah, while the school from the smaller conference might be able to show a respectable effort in that first round, you expecting them to win four games in a row like it's the NFL playoffs with a 9-7 football team where that team can actually win a Super Bowl? No one is expecting that. It would be incredible if it ever happened, but when is that ever going to happen?
I originally hated the playoff. and I wanted Washington to go to the Rose Bowl the year it had the one loss season. Once they won the conference championship, then I was like, okay, I'm going to be bummed if they don't go to the playoff. So maybe I'll feel the same way. Maybe I'll feel the same way. But right now I'm like, okay, fine. I'm still going to be bummed if Washington wins the Pac-12 and ends up not going to the Rose Bowl. There's a part of me that'll be bummed about that.
The BCS was not that bad. I think that's what we're learning now. With hindsight,
I think the original bowl format wasn't that bad. The original bowl format, there was nothing wrong with determining it through the polls. Anyway, it's Danny and Gallant. That's Front Page News. Let's get in with the professor. It's time for our morning drive.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Danny and Gallant.
It's a four-way battle, and there's only going to be three spots. Somebody has to go.
The first and final word on everything NFL from the professor, John Clayton.
They scored 30 points a game. They're the best running team in football.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Danny and Gallant.
Professor, what was the reality for you, your biggest takeaway from Russell Wilson's press conference yesterday?
Well, the big thing is that it's all behind him. And it has been behind him for some period of time. I think that you can hear from his voice that, the fact that once he started talking to Pete Carroll one-on-one, that eased everything else. They did give him a voice in what they were able to do. I mean, all the trade stuff was ridiculous. There was too much talk about it. It was not going to happen. He doesn't want it to happen. He wants to stay here not only through the rest of his contract, but now he says he'd like to stay here in this city through the rest of his career. So I think that I hope people around the country who have been stupid enough to continue to bring up trade talk with Russell Wilson, listen to what he said. I know there was only one little comment where he said, yeah, I was getting a little bit frustrated, getting hit too much, and then threw in a critical comment about that. But it's like, the story is now over, and he now put the punctuation line that the story is now over.
John, do you think he'll finish this contract? He has 3 years left on it. Is he's in Seattle at the end of that contract?
I agree. I think he will be. Yeah, and then we'll see at the end if he's going to be getting a contract extension or not. But I think that he's here through 2013.
Let's switch, because now there's another NFC West quarterback who keeps hinting about playing baseball. What's Kyler Murray doing? Why does he keep bringing up baseball as the possibility? He won't shut the door on it.
No, I'm being stupid. I mean, I'm not saying that Russell Wilson was being stupid back when he was in his rookie deal and talking about going into baseball. In fact, even to a point where he would spend a couple summers where he was down in Texas and going to a different team after that. But he likes baseball. I mean, he had to pay money back to Oakland because he was a top 10 pick. But it's like, think about the reality. If you think he's a good quarterback, which I think he does, his next contract is probably going to net him $30 million+. Okay, so now to go into baseball, it takes 6 years to go through the system if you make a baseball team to get money. Okay, you have to wait 3 years at the minimum salary if you make a baseball team to then go ahead, and then by the fourth year you can start getting arbitration. So it's like, okay, so here's the idea: you want to make baseball minimum at like $500,000 and not know if you're going to be on the roster, or make less than that in the minors, or make $30 million in the NFL. Come on, man.
Let's stick in the NFC West. John, the 49ers got caught violating off-season workout rules, and I saw an interesting tidbit that 31 players have been injured in practice since Kyle Shanahan became coach. What kind of punishment are the 49ers potentially looking at?
I don't know, because they didn't specify what the punishment's going to be. Usually it's going to be you lose OTAs or you lose minicamp days or things of that nature. Certainly you're going to get a fine. But, they've got to figure out something, because their injury situation continues to get worse and worse and worse. I remember last year, they led the league with 117 missed starts with starting players, right? 117. They've had more ACLs than any team in football in the last 7 or 8 years. Go back even to this time last year, early June. They had a whole bunch of guys go down to Nashville, and then four guys, including Debo Samuel, suffered serious injuries that knocked them out from some extent of time. I mean, they've changed their staff as far as medical people. They've changed a lot of different things. They did it 2 years ago, and it's just not getting any better. So on Monday, they end up having, you know, one player suffer an ACL, one player blowing out an Achilles, and it's like it just doesn't stop. And so now what they've done is that they've shut everything down, and you know, they go to camp and they can see if they can fix it up. But right now, it doesn't look good.
I initially saw the announcement was based on the injuries. Like, after the injuries, the 49ers call a halt to it. And then it came out, and it's like, Well, the NFL actually told them, like, you guys are going to have to slow your roll because you've been a little bit too aggressive. Which, look, it's something Seattle's run into before. Mm-hmm. And the league, and usually it's after pressure from the Players Association that applies it to them. They don't want them pushing guys too hard in the offseason.
Yeah, but again, if it's a non-contact thing in the OTAs. And if you have contact and hard hits and things of that nature, you're going to get caught because, you know, it's going to be on tape. There's going to be somebody there who is in the Players Association as a representative, whether it's going to be a veteran or whatever, that is going to report it. And then if you get caught, you get caught, and they continue to get caught.
John, the Chiefs' great offensive lineman spree suffered a setback yesterday. Kyle Long, who had unretired, suffered a knee injury of sorts. We'll see just how severe it ends up being. What kind of blow does this do for Kansas City's offensive line, which was such a problem at the end of last year?
It is, and of course, it wasn't a knee. It was a lower leg injury, is what we find out. It's not like a kneecap, which some people thought it
was. Remember, that was the original report. Okay.
Yeah, the original report was a kneecap, but looks like it's lower leg. But it hurts because, I mean, they're totally revamping the offensive line. A new left tackle, a guard situation, you know, with one player that went up to Canada to be a doctor, and it was a doctor.
Well, and Vinay Tardif.
Yeah, Tardif, and he missed the season. He's coming back. So, no, I think it sets him back because, and that's the gamble you take on somebody who retired or even somebody who opted out last year, because if you miss time and you try to come back, sometimes you get hurt, sometimes you don't, but it's a big blow. And right now they think he's going to be able to be available for the start of the regular season, but they can't guarantee it.
All right, Professor. That wraps up our week with you. We're going to be listening tomorrow morning. John Clayton, the John Clayton Show. You're going to be taking calls 8 to 11?
That is correct. 8 to 11 tomorrow.
We look forward to hearing it. Thank you
so much, John.
Professor.
Right,
you can hear him with Wyman and Bob this afternoon. Well, coming up next here on Danny and Gallant, the Mariners have been placed back in timeout. And did Russ give us his word he's staying here? That's ahead.
You are listening to Danny and Gallant on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant.
We will play more highlights from the work of art that was Russell Wilson's press conference in just a couple of moments. But the Mariners, who are back in timeout because they cannot beat the Detroit Tigers, there are some interesting elements about this team, and we heard some of them specifically yesterday when it was the Jerry DePoto show. Jerry talked about a lineup that he is hoping to see that will basically show what the future is for this team by the All-Star break.
Our hope is that as we get to the All-Star break, that we see a lineup on the field that is reflective of what we think our future, you know, championship clubs are going to start to look like. And you can fill in the blanks. And that includes guys like Evan White, and Kyle Lewis, and Jared Kelnick, and the young players that you're starting to see already bust through, guys like Jake Fraley and J.P. Crawford, and hopefully Dylan Moore is a part of that sooner than later, coming back from his injury. You know, and that could include guys like Cal Raleigh, in addition to the players who've already appeared in the big.
Mora, I know, tweeted a transcript of what was said, and it was met with some interesting reactions, to say the least, on Twitter.
People were mad, guys.
Why were they mad? Is it just sourness of Mariner fans, like, who are like, oh, we've heard this before?
Yeah, there was some, like, Dylan Moore reaction. There was a lot of why are Haniger and Seager not mentioned, which I didn't take it as DePoto saying they're not a part of the future. I thought he was specifically trying to mention the young guys.
Those guys have played every game so far.
Right.
Like, that's what he's pointing out, is that so far through, what are they, a third of the way through the season? They've had to ham and egg it together because guys have gotten hurt or guys haven't hit.
Exactly.
This team doesn't look like what they were hoping for. And they're two games under 500, and that's actually pretty remarkable given that nobody thought they were any good to begin with, and they've been hit. They've played 50 players. They've had the most players on the roster of any team in baseball. I don't know. That sounds to me like Mariner fans who want to get mad.
I think a lot of Mariner fans do want to get mad these days. Also, I mean, Ty France's name. Did you hear Ty France's name mentioned there, too, if you're getting upset about no Seager or Mitch Haniger being mentioned?
Like, part of Ty, but right. Ty France is part of the future. Like,
exactly.
Come on.
That's what I mean.
Like, don't. Those were guys that aren't currently in the configuration that he wants to see back.
I will say, I do not blame, seeing as they are now back in timeout, I do not blame people looking for things to be mad about after losing 2 or 3 to the Detroit Tigers. I don't. I will not blame them for that because I am pretty mad myself. So let's shift back into Russell Wilson. Look, we knew we weren't going to get any real clarity on Russell Wilson, his true feelings, and what actually happened. I wanted it, but what are you going to do? I mean, this is a guy who's great on the field. Off the field, he wears a mask. But I was struck, Danny, by one thing. We know Russell Wilson cares about his legacy. I'm curious as to if he cares about his word. Russell Wilson, in yesterday's press conference, said that while things can change, I love everything about this city.
Well, I think any time in sports, obviously things can change. I think that's just the reality. Everybody knows that, you know. But I think that for me, my heart of a hearts, and, you know, I love the city. I love this place. You know, I love everything about it from the moment I touched down to Seattle Children's to, you know, our Why Not You Academy, to everything else that we have going on. This place has meant a lot. And ultimately, I love the fans. I love my teammates. I love this coaching staff. I love this building, you know. So every time I come up here, I get excited, you know, just to get ready to go again.
I heard that, and I feel like, Danny, in that comment, he is somewhat boxing himself into playing the remainder of his contract here if we are to buy his word. But then that opens up the question of how much should you buy an athlete's word in a league where contracts aren't guaranteed.
But he didn't say I'm not going anywhere. Like he made it clear that he didn't start the trade talk, and he's as much a victim or a potential casualty of the turbulence as anyone. I don't know, man. I think you might be reading too much into that.
If you say you want to play here the remainder of your career and then you say you want to be traded, those are two things entirely different. I feel like that is a little more of a commitment than the way you said it right there.
Well, yeah, but don't we see that happen all the time?
We do, and that's sort of what I wanted to ask about as well. Should an athlete care about his word in a sport like this, where you can unplug a guy's contract pretty easily?
But if you're in a relationship with someone and you say, I want to be with you forever, and then you break up 2 years later, did you break your word? Or did you just react to new realities that were around the corner? You meant it when you said it.
Did Russell mean it
when he says it, yes. But I think that in Russell's head, part of this is that depends on them making sure that we're going to continue moving in the right direction. I think if they backslide this year, he might feel dramatically differently about staying here unless there are going to be changes above him. I mean, he's in a... Fans are going to be mad at him if he leaves. They're going to be mad at him if he tells them the truth for 3 years and says, I'm going to seek the best option possible for me. They're going to be mad if he leads them on and then changes his mind at the last minute. So I don't... Fans are going to be mad regardless. I just don't know how much what he's saying right now forecasts what he's going to say or do after the season.
I understand that. I feel like in some way it should, though. If you're going to say, I want to be here the rest of my career or the rest of your contract, then how about a couple of off seasons worth of freedom from headaches like this until your contract expires? Right? Because then you're full of it if you're saying that I want to be here for the rest of my career. And it's also just hard to entirely believe him based off of the fact that he just let that, you know, stinker sit out there wafting in the wind for 3.5 months and then has the gall to say it was blown out of proportion. Well, you let it be blown out of proportion, Russ.
Are you mad at him?
I'm annoyed with him.
Yeah.
I'm annoyed by this entire saga. Because ultimately, if you want to go about doing things like this, flexing, you should at the very least at the end of it have the stones to get what you want. Did Russ get what he wanted this offseason?
Not really.
So we're just going to, I guess, move on like nothing ever happened? Because I think that's what he wants to happen.
Okay, so he flexed. He didn't get everything that he wanted. There were some changes. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to play anywhere different. What should he do right now? If you were going to say, like, what's the most ethical or most responsible way for him to approach it, what should he do instead of what he did? I thought that yesterday it was clear how uncomfortable he was about people believing he wanted to be traded. And I thought that it was clear that, hey, he's committed to doing this right here, right now. I didn't read that much into it long term. What could he have done differently?
Is it that hard to be a little human and say, it was a mistake on my end to let it turn into this? Would it be that hard? Wouldn't that make all of your teammates feel better? All of the people in the front office feel better? Your head coach feel better? We all make mistakes. And I mean, remember, it wasn't that long ago where we heard on this very show, Carlos Dunlap say it was a mistake.
What if he doesn't feel it's a mistake?
Well, then...
I mean, honestly, because that would be one of the unanswered questions I have from this. Does Russ think he was wrong? Or does he think that he could have expressed it better? Because those are two entirely different things. To look at it and say, you know what? I was in my feelings. I got caught up in the frustration of watching the Super Bowl and not being there. And it's been 5 years since we've been there. And I got carried away. I got frustrated. And I let that push my buttons. And I spoke on it publicly. Or, yeah, I could have expressed it better. But I know where I'm coming from, and I think I'm right, because I think it's more the latter than it is the former.
Okay.
I think that he's like, yeah, I didn't express it the best way. I could have been more mature about it. But I don't think it's the latter of, you know what, I wasn't being realistic, and that was me kind of throwing a little bit of a fit.
Okay. Well, I get where you're coming from there. I feel like if you're going to say, though, it got blown out of proportion, then you are admitting that it's a mistake, because who else is here to blow things out of proportion? Well, it's everybody when you don't say anything about it. It's everybody when everyone's in the room, what's that smell? What's that smell? And then 3.5 months later, you're like, oh, yeah, that was me, my bad. You know, and I know he didn't say the my bad there, but, I mean, it doesn't...
No, it's just something that happened. It's one of those unfortunate things. It was spontaneous combustion. He's not responsible for it. It was a stink that occurred.
It's Danny and Gallant, 710 ESPN. Seattle, 710-710, the Mac and Jack's Brewing Company text line. How are you feeling today about Russell Wilson's future here in Seattle? What was the point Russell was trying to get across? He had to have some sort of message, right? We'll talk about that next.
You are listening to Danny and Gallant on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant.
Gonna have Michael Bumpus joins us at 8 o'clock. It'll be time for Blue 42. Russell Wilson's great reckoning yesterday, his press conference, and I'm not sure how much was happening from the 425. Why would he need to apologize? This is our Mac and Jack's text line. Coaches and teammates don't seem to care. This is the dumbest conversation. You're right about on the surface, coaches and teammates not saying they care. I think this matters a great deal because I think that there's a lot of pressure that's happening below the surface. And while I'm not sure how much his teammates are involved in that, it's certainly about the quarterback's relationship with the franchise. And I think that there are, at the very least, there are signs that there's a great deal of tension that continues to exist below the surface and has for a while about Russ's faith in the direction of the team. From the 253, why does Russ owe you or need an apology? Maybe he did apologize to his teammates. Absolutely right. That is totally true. But that question of Russ being on the same page with the team or feeling that, hey, is this a short-term marriage? What happens if they backslide? Yes, he wants to be here for the rest of his career. We'll see if that happens. My favorite is the 206. I feel better. Russ sounded like a PR robot again. I hope he stays that way. It's when he plays best.
There are two things I think that you have to keep in mind. Pete Carroll and how he always says protect the team. So whether it's Bobby Wagner or Pete Carroll, you're not going to hear how those people feel when they are speaking in front of a microphone. And the other thing I think you have to also acknowledge is that access between players and the average person who could find something out off the record, it's not where it was before because of the pandemic. So it's a little, I think, more difficult to perhaps gauge just how everyone else is feeling about it in the locker room.
Players tend to leave each other's business alone. Don't talk about when Cam Chancellor was holding out for the first two games of 2015. How many players do you remember on the record saying something critical of that? They don't mess with each other's business like that. Did that create tension behind the scenes? Yes, it absolutely did. And
everyone's going to have a personal opinion on something like this.
And in this situation, what I've noticed in our conversation here, there's the matter of being right, and then there's reality. There's the question of whether you're right, and then there's the question of the reality. We tend to look at things, is it right? Is Aaron Rodgers right to be mad about the drafting of Jordan Love? Is Russell Wilson right to complain about how much he's been hit? Is there a validity to his complaints? And then we expect that the answer to that we come to, like, hey, he's overreacting, or, you know what, he's got a point, that somehow dictates the resolution, when the reality is it doesn't matter whether Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers is right. What matters is that they feel that way. And then the question becomes, do they feel that way so strongly that they force a team to do something? Because quarterbacks are the only position in this league that can really stick the screws to somebody.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean they'll win, because usually they don't. But it's the only position in the league where you can absolutely dig in your heels and wreck something. Like, you think Green Bay right now is sweated about their situation with Rodgers? They're terrified. Like, that's brutal. That's why the coach is saying, hey, if there's anything I can do to calm this down. And with Russell, is he right to be frustrated? Maybe. I don't think that matters, though, because the reality is he was frustrated. Reality. He did speak out. And now the question is he over that? Or is that something that's been shifted to the back burner? And after listening to him talk yesterday, I'm more convinced than ever that this is simmering on the back burner.
Which means it's not gone entirely.
No! It's just been moved. We're going to play this year, and we're going to put everything we can into it. We're absolutely going to try and do it. Here's the best thing he said. The best thing he said, and if I would have been his PR advisor, what I would have told him is to hit this note and cut number two. That when he talked about sort of what happened in the offseason, I think the best message he could have had would have been to say, hey, we worked through that. We're stronger for it, and we're moving forward. Here's cut number two.
Sometimes things are family matters. Not everybody else is a part of it at the time. You know, because the reality is that, you know, there was calls going around that I could have possibly been traded. And so, you know, I think the reality is that we had to have a lot of conversations. We had some great ones along the way, and it made our relationship stronger, really. Me and Pete and John and all that.
So the latter part of that all sounds nice.
Mm-hmm.
When he says there were some conversations,
yep,
that does not sound like he is taking responsibility for those conversations having begun. That makes
yeah,
it
no,
sound...
I don't think he is. I don't think he is, man. I think yesterday, like, he wanted it very clear. I didn't start this.
Do you think there was an implication that the Seahawks started this? That the Seahawks were the ones picking up the phones and making these calls happen? Because I felt like that was something that he could have put the pin back in the grenade on as well.
Couldn't the Seahawks have well?
That's fair.
They kind of had it escalated. And now they're blaming the other side for, hey, you're the reason. You were talking to people. It's like, hey, I didn't really say anything. And by the way, you guys didn't say anything either and didn't include my name in the letter the president sent out to season ticket holders. It was like, you escalate. No, you escalate. No, you gave the list of four teams. Well, you had mentioned the five teams that he could go to in the article with The Athletic. It was, they both felt the other side escalated.
The Bears also escalated it by acting like they had made this big offer because they were desperate losers and wanted everyone to believe that they were moving their franchise in the right direction. So the Bears actually do deserve some fault here. I hope they have a horrible season next year.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember when the Bears were first mentioned and what our reaction was?
It was so stupid.
They don't have anything to offer. And then guess what? They didn't have anything to offer.
Here's a guy we're going to release tomorrow.
It's unbelievable.
And by the way, they're still trying to trade Akeem Hicks, apparently. Like, so it's oh man, that it was Kyle Fuller was the one that was apparently a part of the first trade offer.
Is Russell right? I don't know that it matters. I think the reality is what matters. And that question to me is, how much does he need to see improvement from last year? Otherwise, last offseason might be a warm-up for what we might see this offseason.
Well, I mean, you definitely need to, I think, have an offense that is not going to fall apart at the end of the year. And I feel like maybe if the offense is not the reason that the season comes to an end the way that it was last year down the stretch, that maybe even if there is an earlier exit than ideal, that maybe he would say, oh, well, this is going in the right direction with Shane Waldron. And I will say, one of the things that I did think stood out to me, just because this press conference did feature the word reality about 392 times, was that he did seem very open and curious about Shane Waldron's offense. I don't know if he was buying into it hook, line, and sinker, but some of the things that he said about the offense implied curiosity, and to me, that is good. I think that, to me, means he feels like, okay, I don't know how I feel exactly about Shane Waldron, but I do think that this difference is good for us going forward.
As the classic poet collective NWA once said, it is not about a salary, it is all about reality. We're joined by Michael Bumpus for Blue 42 next.